At Farm to Table, we know how confusing healthcare is. We're here to simplify the healing process. We believe that healthcare should be simple. It should help people feel better. That's why we started the Table Talk podcast, to gather around the table with you, no matter where you are. We want to come and learn together and discuss a new healthcare approach that addresses the root cause of your symptoms. The journey for each person is unique, but together we can thrive.
All right. Well, welcome to the Table Talk podcast. My name is Melody Hartzler, the owner and CEO of Farm to Table and clinical pharmacist. So thanks for tuning in today. I am here with Dr. Sam Madera, and he is a naturopath. So we love our naturopaths because honestly, if I had my career to do over again and knew about that going into studying the field of pharmacy or medicine, I think that might have been more on the radar. But so tell us a little bit about your background, what you do now, and then today we're going to dive into organic acids. So just give us a little bit of background about you.
Sure. Yeah. I'll try to be brief so we can get into the organic acid testing. I'm as mentioned, naturopathic doctor in Montana in Washington State. So before that, I was studying herbal medicine and positive psychology, and I was a wilderness EMT and on the ski patrol. So, you know, going back to early 2000s, over 20 years ago, I was doing wilderness emergency medicine. So kind of started with the more life-saving medic stuff and then went more into integrative functional medicine.
Yeah, well, super interesting. We actually have someone on our team. I do a consulting team with Profero, and she's studying the positive psychology and like how that works and like even the employer health space. So that's super interesting that that was part of your background.
Yeah, we were creating like basically surveys for research to assess different metrics around, you know, the locus, positive locus of control in people's lives and kind of like happiness metrics, if you will. So,
Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah, there's so much there with psychology and like community and just how people engage that plays a huge role in their health. We talk about that a lot in our Foundations of Health course too. So awesome. Well, today we're going to dive into organic acids, and we know that Diagnostic Solutions, the company that you work for, has a new organic acids test profile. You guys have had organic acids before, but you've updated that. So before we dive in specifically to the test itself, tell us about like what are organic acids? Why is this like even something that we should be thinking about for our patients? And what does this tell us differently than our traditional like measuring a B12 level or measuring, you know, a nutrient level like glutathione in the blood?
Yeah, definitely. Well, a basic definition of organic acids is that they're small molecules produced as metabolic intermediates and end products when the body breaks down proteins, fats, carbohydrates. So they break it down into proteins, obviously amino acids, fats, fatty acids, and then medium chain fatty acids, small chain fatty acids, et cetera. Carbohydrates, obviously sugars. So you're basically getting a intermediate through that pathway. So if the enzyme pathway is supposed to move from A to B to C to D to E, if you're trying to see why that patient isn't responding to a treatment, or you're putting in a cofactor into that pathway or multiple cofactors, right? So those cofactors could include things like B vitamins, iron, different minerals like molybdenum or manganese, magnesium, copper, and you're not seeing movement, or you want to see if you need more of, or you need them at all. And those are the micronutrient cofactor, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, right? Carnitine's another one that's a big one that a lot of people are deficient in today or not taking enough of, or maybe they are taking these things and eating a very healthy diet already, but given their lifestyle and their exercise demands, they have higher demands of the nutrients, or they're not even absorbing what you're giving them to the degree you thought they were in their gut. So it's kind of a lot of variables there, but essentially we're looking at things below the surface at a level that you wouldn't be able to with blood tests and some other tests out there, even other functional diagnostic tests that are available.
Right. Okay. So we're looking at the metabolic reactions that are involved in our energy, our detox, and then how our body is using proteins and making neurotransmitters. And then can this test also tell us about like environmental exposures?
Yes, it does tell us some of those. There's essentially a dashboard for toxin exposures and toxic impacts. And it's a good starting point, in my opinion, because if those are really high or high normal, then it should lead the practitioner to a, you know, conclusion that, okay, maybe we need to do more testing or we need to deploy more treatments that would help that person detox, right? So
yeah,
maybe that's Epsom salt baths and sauna, or maybe that's, you know, let's do a heavy metal provocation challenge for a urine test of heavy metals and see what's going on there more, right? And you could differentiate that by asking them more about their medical history, looking up their zip codes where they've lived most of their life, asking about, you know, do you have amalgam fillings or what do they do for work, right? Because they could just put on their intake form, like, I do this, and maybe we don't even know what that means as far as exposures. So
sure.
Sometimes, obviously, our patients don't know, or they're poor historians, or they, you know, like a lot of us men as patients, we minimize and procrastinate on our health. So we're used to just saying, ah, it's not a big deal. You know, I did X, Y, and Z. Or so knowing how to ask those targeted questions after you have a test result for a patient to help them make sense of it. Although I will say, I was just at a conference and I was doing quite a bit of support, I guess you would say, around interpretation for organic acids for people. And I know some people have had, you know, they're cancer survivors or they have, you know, polyautoimmunity or other conditions that when they get a lab result, they get a little anxious about it. This is not a diagnostic test. It's not like diagnosing an autoimmune disease with an antibody test in the blood, right? Or something else like HIV, AIDS, right? That is more maybe scary, if you will, or anxiety provoking, of course. So when you get the result back and your dashboard is all red and orange, it's good to take action on it, but I wouldn't take it as a letter grade on your health, because some people have been, you know, working very hard to be healthy for a long period of time, of course, with us practitioners, right? And then they start using a new test and it tells them more nuance, right? It's giving you more nuance around what you're already doing. But also when you're looking at toxic impacts and stuff like that, this is your total body burden that's coming out in your urine that day. So it's not necessarily saying that you're not trying to be healthy or that, you know, there's something wrong with your metabolic health in a way that is super serious. I mean, if everything was red, then I would probably redo the test, right? Because we don't see that. But the red levels are 95th percentile and higher. And that is essentially saying this is a true high level that you definitely should take action on. And it definitely is a concern there needing that cofactor for that enzyme step if there is an enzyme or the toxin is truly elevated in the urine. If it is orange or yellow on the result, if you will, that is saying like, hey, you know, maybe you're taking that cofactor, or maybe if it's not an enzymatic step, this is something to look further with, discuss with the practitioner, and maybe there's other blood work that's already been done or needs to be done to unpack that a little bit. Or if it is an enzymatic metabolite that is moving forward because an enzyme needs support, then maybe you need a lower dose of that nutrient. So if it's vitamin B2, maybe you need a little bit more vitamin B2, or you just stop taking it before the test and it was already prescribed because your practitioner wanted you to have a clean slate, right? And we call that your metabolic profile at that time. So getting your metabolic profile, whether you're a new or current patient with a functional medicine practitioner, can be really helpful, because a lot of my patients always say, well, I don't want to take so many supplements, so can we really dial it in? And
sure,
maybe we can, maybe we can't, right? So hopefully that's helpful to kind of reframe the results for people and help them see that, you know, this is really to help assess what is going on at the mitochondrial level, the cellular level. And a lot of people already know, and your podcast listeners may already know, you know, a lot of conditions start with mitochondrial damage or dysfunction from toxins, viruses, you know, et cetera. Other treatments in medicine, conventional treatments, that's, you know, there's a list of medications that we know that cause mitochondrial damage and research out there talking about that. So this would tell them, hey, you know, you're taking a statin, your CoQ10 is not sufficient, you need more CoQ10. You're taking PPI, you need not just B12, but other B vitamins and minerals because that's depleting that. You're taking SSRI, great. Let's look at your organic acid test. Okay, we need to support that tryptophan pathway, that serotonin pathway, so that SSRI can work better and so you feel better on it and you're not switching medications around, right? Same with the dopamine pathway. So, you know, for folks who are doing more of an integrative approach, whether you're prescribing medications or not, in my opinion, medications are often needed or helpful, at least for a period of time. So I don't want to demonize medications. Of course, we know some medications more severe side effects long term. I mean, it's very hard to get people to come off of a proton pump inhibitor. This test can kind of answer a lot of these questions of like, how do I support this patient? You're a GI map and you're also testing fungal markers. So if they do have a lot of mold, you're going to see it, but it doesn't mean that they don't have mold mycotoxins because it's not a mold mycotoxin test. Although organic acid testing for me was kind of like my gateway test, if you will, into the mold world because that became a subspecialty. So I would just say that if you're already doing mold mycotoxin testing, this also will help you assess what's going on with the mitochondria if you're not doing organic acid testing with it to support your patients around what key nutrients may be missing from that. I mean, we even test for like quercetin metabolite. So, you know, a lot of people need to take quercetin or they're not taking it. And then there's, you know, there's kind of a conversation around compliance with patients. Or if you wanted them to take all these supplements and they're not taking it, or they say they're taking it, but they're not taking it because they don't like taking them. They don't want to tell you that. Then this test can be part of that, hopefully building better rapport and trust with your patients or clients too, because patients are people. That we're dynamic humans. It's not like just filling up a gas tank in a car and making sure the oil and tires are good.
Sure. Yeah, sometimes we go through stressful periods where you might need more nutrients or you're working out heavier than you had been and need a little bit extra for the mitochondria. So going through the test, the report, I know we don't have time to talk about every single marker, but when you're looking at energy and mitochondrial process, that part of the report, are there key ones that stand out to you that you're always like honing in on with patients when you're going through their initial report?
Yeah, I like to check some of the key ones that I would look at are alpha-ketoglutarate, that metabolite, and succinic acid, in my opinion, are kind of highly researched enzymes that are part of the Krebs cycle and mitochondria to like a keystone, if you will. And then there's also some ratios. So, you know, there's ratios that we look at throughout the test. And those are, in my opinion, a good thing to look at almost right away, like the HVA-VMA ratio, cortisol-cortisone ratio. So HVA-VMA ratio is going to be under the phenylalanine metabolism, dopamine metabolism pathway. So that is going to tell us if the dopamine beta hydroxylase enzyme is moving forward sufficiently and has enough cofactors. So typically if you see other kind of results, even in the yellow around oxidative stress in the test. So for example, succinic acid could tell you, okay, there's oxidative stress in that pathway for the Krebs cycle. And then you have a HVA-VMA ratio that is high, then that person may need more vitamin C than copper. Since you only have two metabolites there that are, or two nutrients that are cofactors.
Yeah.
And copper is probably arguably more deficient in people today for multiple reasons. We've had 4 years of people potentially, at least our client base and your listeners probably take mega dosing zinc periodically when they're sick, and that will push copper levels down because they compete with each other. And then when you have a slow dopamine beta hydroxylase enzyme, you're going to potentially feel, I would say, kind of moody or cranky. So low motivation, people with brain fog could fall into this category, people who have attention and focus problems. So you just don't want to really do anything extra when you have lower dopamine clearance and lower dopamine, right? That's pretty important because a lot of our patients are trying to change their lifestyle, right? And they don't have the motivation to do that. Then the compliance becomes a big conversation. But if we don't understand why they aren't compliant, they may just say, I don't really understand why I have to do this. I don't really want to do this, or I don't really like the supplement, but they're not saying what they don't know, which is they don't have the dopamine pathway to do it, right? So
yeah.
And then obviously vitamin C, as humans, we don't make vitamin C, and some people are going to need more vitamin C than others. I mean, right now being almost November, a lot of people that I'm talking to, friends and patients and stuff, are starting to feel, I wouldn't say full on sick, but just exhausted. You know, like the weather's changing up north and they're kind of feeling that cold weather hit hard, you know, after a busy summer. So I think that getting those levels repleted and then seeing how they feel with that, they may just, you know, and you could give other things. I mean, you could give like recuniperines if they tolerate that. I mean, you don't want to push these pathways too hard. If they need tyrosine, you'll see if they need tyrosine. You'll see if they need phenylalanine. And then your cortisol, cortisone in the urine, because it is a first morning urine test. So you'll really be able to support their mood and their HPA access from one test, one sample, at least begin to. And then if you are doing other tests around that, like a blood serum, AM cortisol or something, you could correlate them or connect them to each other unless you can. Obviously, you're going to look at what's on the dashboard, because there's a functional imbalances dashboard at the beginning of the test. And it's like a traffic light, like a lot of functional tests. So it's, you know, green, orange, yellow, or red. And then you're going to take action, you know, definitely on the red and the orange and yellow. Maybe it's more of a conversation or lifestyle changes. Let's eat more of those things. Obviously, it's hard for us to get a lot of antioxidants because we're in such a antioxidant robbing world with all the toxins and things. But, you know, get those levels up. And then at the end of the test, we have nutraceutical insights or nutritional insights for actionable treatment plans. And that is basically based on algorithms from what is truly out of balance, right? So if you're a very hardcore evidence-based person, the 95th percentile, or the ones that are the results in the red, because there's some two-tailed results that could still be red and be very low, those are going to be the ones that have the most kind of stringent, strict evidence behind them. And then from a functional medicine point of view, we're trying to reach, you know, this optimal health goal, right? It's like tuning the F1 race car, or for athletes or people who work out a lot, you're trying to get that extra, you know, rep in, you're trying to run a little bit further, et cetera, right? Or maybe that's someone's life, they may be a single parent and they need that extra energy because otherwise they're not going to get their promotion at the job or keep their job. So the stakes could be higher depending on who we're talking about, but obviously we're not talking about, you know, end stage illness necessarily, even if you use that test for this. So that that algorithm is pretty, I would say, conservative. So if you go through the test and you're seeing things on the dashboard and you're seeing things that are like, okay, well, it said I needed glycine, but it only said take 500 milligrams. Well, that's the starting dose for glycine, because you can go up to 3 grams of glycine, but not everybody is going to tolerate glycine. So we don't want to tell someone on a test result, take 3 grams of glycine, and then they feel horrible, right?
Provider guidance as well, and looking at the whole picture of everything that's going on.
Definitely. Yeah. It's a very big whole picture test, and, you know, over 70 analytes. So we recommend people schedule consults with us. They at the lab at DSL, here at DSL, and they you know, order a test on yourself as a practitioner. So you order a test on yourself as a practitioner first, and then schedule a consult, go over it with us, download the interpretive guide from the website. So you can go to diagnosticsolutionslab.com, and then you go to tests, and there's a drop down menu, and you'll get that interpretive guide there for free. There's also a sample test report, so you can see that before you even order the test to see what it looks like as a idea, basically. And that's super helpful to have that interpretive guide. You download it as a PDF on your laptop or desktop computer, and then you can search every different analyte you want. And every time you order a test, you can go through it and then schedule consults with myself or someone else on the medical education team here at Diagnostic Solutions Lab.
Yeah. So how does this, so in a practice, if patients are coming in, and I know we're talking with our audience to patients and providers, and we'll link the sample report and the comprehensive guide in the show notes as well, if you're looking for that. But where does this fit? Do you find this is more like, I think you alluded to that this is a good like upfront test to help us see like, are there, you know, metabolites for bacterial that we should be exploring dysbiosis, or are there mold and fungal markers? And then we need to explore that more. Do you find this is like where you start with patients is an organic acids, or is it something, you know, if they come in with a specific symptom like fatigue, or, you know, want to optimize your workout routine, or, you know, what benefits you're getting from that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I would test it early on for patients with whatever other tests you do. So if you're doing only blood tests and ordering a lot of blood tests, this could be really helpful. Or if you're only doing a GI map stool test, this could be really helpful. So to combine them has been very eye-opening for me over the years. I mean, I've started doing that about 6 or 8 years ago, roughly. And that really changed my approach for the treatment. And also, it will give you that metabolic profile, right? So you just want to make sure that it's a first morning urine, ideally before 9 a.m., and that they haven't voided their bladder for at least 6 hours. So if you have a patient who, for some reason, is having to go to the bathroom a lot, like an older male patient with prostate issues, that would change how you interpret the results. So if they can't wait 6 to 8 hours to go urinate and void their bladder, then, you know, you want to ask the lab how to navigate that. But there's also, you know, you can add on blood amino acids, and then that's basically our omics test. So people who are kind of like, well, what about, you know, adding more blood tests and things like that? So I think that for functional medicine, organic acid testing, I mean, it's been around 30 years. We're looking for this functional dashboard. So if you're trying to build that functional dashboard analysis for your patients, in my opinion, this should be one of the keystone tests.
And then how do you use like this information alongside like genetic information? Because I feel like sometimes like how people are processing nutrients may come back to their SNPs in whether it's CMT or another piece of their, you know, metabolism. Do you often recommend that they get nutrients, or just like if you have that genetic testing, or is it more like if you have that, that's just an added piece of the puzzle that can be helpful in interpretation?
Yeah. So I would say if you do the test and you're seeing certain things, especially if you're seeing themes with their symptoms and or other tests, right, then you would want to do the genetic testing. And or if that's already something that you do a lot and you're wanting to combine it with something like the organic acid urine test or 24-hour urine hormone test together, you're going to want to look at those pathways, right? And why, you know, for example, I was talking about the dopamine beta hydroxylase, but just with HVA and valinic acid levels, you have COMT and MAO, so monoamine oxidase, and COMT is COMT. So if you test those SNPs through like a genomics profile test, you're going to have more insight into, okay, this person needs magnesium B2, but maybe they need other cofactors. But also, inevitably, our patients ask us the question, is this supplement something I need to keep taking after X amount of months, right? So in my opinion, those functional genomics or nutrigenomics tests combined with organic acid help you answer that. Because you're looking at the epigenetic profile here, and then the genetics is not always going to be, you know, as impactful because their genetics can be impacted by their epigenetics, right? Obviously. So that combined is kind of giving you both sides of the coin. And inevitably it's, can they afford it, right? Can they afford the genomics test?
Yeah. Or do they want to know all of that information? I think that's still a debate for some people, like in the security of that information. Some people are concerned about, I guess, I even saw recently like 23andMe like might be bought out by another company, you know, and they have all this information from people. So yeah, so I think that whole piece is interesting. You'd hope that whoever buys it is going to do good with, you know, the information that they have, but it is something people are concerned about for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, so I think that's a good point because we did my test and went over it and, you know, my homomelanic acid and my ratio was like not quite red, but in the yellow. But I also have a CMT SNP where I have slower CMT. So I think it is a good reminder for defining for people what epigenetic, in case you're a patient listening and you're like, I don't know what that means. Epigenetic is like how your body reacts to the environment. So you might have genes for something, but genes, they always say like, the genes are, you know, the gun, but something else has to pull the trigger. And so we might not have triggers like potentially that are actually affecting it. And I find this a lot in people with like MTHFR, like they come in, oh my goodness, I have MTHFR. They think it's like a diagnosis of, you know, a condition, and they've looked and they need to take all these B vitamins and everything. And they're so overwhelmed and they, you know, act like they're like diagnosed with something. And I'm like, well, that is not a diagnosis. It's just a genetic SNP that you have, which means that your folate metabolism is altered or conversion of folate is altered, and it may or may not be causing a problem for you. So like this organic acid test could show them like your methylmalonic acid is fine or your folate, you know, is being converted appropriately, whereas, you know, they might not need these crazy high doses that some people are recommending. And also I find patients that have COMT mutations and MTHFR, you give them crazy high doses of methylated B vitamins, they feel terrible because of the downstream piece of it. So sort of, I think that's one of the reasons why people need to be working with a provider when they're doing this versus just like Googling everything and taking supplements online, because you need someone to really step back and look at the whole picture, you know, like you're saying about this test being sort of like an overall picture of your health is regarding, you know, your energy cycle. Because honestly, that's the number one reason people come to see us is fatigue. I mean, gut symptoms, I think, come along with that. But I don't know about you, but I just feel like everybody's, one of their chief complaints is fatigue. And it takes them a while to get to the point where they recognize that they need help with that, because it's a slow process of your mitochondrial function going lower. But yeah, I think this is a nice add-on for patients to see. And I think it is a little bit, you know, it's nuanced as far as like getting into the weeds of everything that's going on. So I think that, like you said, for some people can be really overwhelming to see this like report of all yellow or, you know, several reds and lots of yellows. So you have to have the right person. Your anxiety people might not be the people to run this on at the beginning. Sometimes they are just overwhelmed in general about the healthcare system, like you mentioned. So when you're talking to a patient about like blood, like, do you still find that like a direct level measurements of nutrients are helpful and like looking at the whole picture with this? Or do you feel like organic acids sort of take over the need for measuring things directly in the blood or the, you know, red blood cell level of a nutrient?
Well, I think it depends what nutrient you're talking about, because we're not going to be able to look at things like directly anyway, vitamins like A, right? Yeah. That may be considered part of like an antioxidant treatment plan, right?
Yeah.
So what we're looking at here is the metabolite, because the pathway is, if it's an enzymatic step on the test, is not moving forward, or someone doesn't have the substrate, or there's been an issue in the whole pathway leading into that metabolite. So it's a little bit different than saying like, oh, I want to test vitamin, you know, B12 and vitamin D and things like that. I mean, you can test methylmalonic acid, you know, in the urine, and you can test in the blood. And we do both those on the omics test, right, for B12. And then we have tests on this one for Foley. And we do build out, or the lab has built out, a nutrition dashboard in the test. So further down into, you know, before you get to the end. And so it basically takes every result that you would want to see, like B6, B12, folate, and some other things, and puts it on a dashboard for you. So water soluble vitamins, you're going to be able to see their impact in your cells here. If somebody is doing a lot of red blood cell tests, you know, for example, if someone was doing like red blood cell minerals and heavy metal testing already, I would say keep doing that. You know, I test red blood cell zinc and copper often with patients, especially in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I do an organic acid test. And in my opinion, that's important to do. Obviously, you know, not everybody can afford every test that you want to order, sure, on them. So that's obviously for you to unpack with every patient. And hopefully in your onboarding, you're clear about and transparent about pricing from days one and two. So there's not any surprises or anything like that. However, you know, whether someone needs or doesn't need a test, at the end of the day, I think it really comes down to the conversation between the practitioner and the patient. And I'm not trying to like skirt the question too much, but
yeah,
you know, I've had patients who we don't do any testing, very rare, but I had a patient living in a hotel for months and we did very basic blood testing. We did all nutrition and, you know, like their thyroid and testosterone medicine. And then I was like, hey, let's talk about you walking more, because you're trying to get a job and you're moving and there's all these kind of things going on in their life that prevented them from being able to not only afford, but even just implement those things mentally. So I think that's an extreme case of meeting your patient where they're at. But
yeah,
inevitably, I would say if you can do the blood tests you already do that you feel are helpful, I do think that this test forgoes the need of a lot of extra tests that people may be doing in functional medicine. I mean, basically, I think conventional blood tests around hormones and things, and maybe some nutrients like vitamin D and red blood cell minerals, if you want to do those. And then this test, you know, organic acids and GI MAP, you're going to capture 99.999% of what you need for a patient, as long as you know what to order for the blood tests for your patient, right?
Yeah. What do you feel like has been your, like, do you have a patient in mind that you feel like organic acid testing was like game changer for them? Like, as far as things that you uncovered, do you, I mean, if not, that's okay. But just kind of curious if there was someone that just pops out or was like, this was life-changing information for them.
Yeah, I think I can think of someone right now. So she came to me with the Hashimoto's diagnosis and thyroid medicine, which is a lot of female patients that we all may see, and fatigue, mm-hmm, and bloating, which is probably like every other patient that we'll see, right? And they decided to do a keto diet. And I don't recall if that was like something that they heard, or I think it was something that they decided they were going to do. And I was supportive. I was like, yes, that would be great. Let's try it. Let's see how it feels for you every day, for like your brain fog, your fatigue, cold hands, all that stuff, and energy. And because there was a lot of fatigue and bloating. So she did it for a while. We did an organic acid test and we found that she wasn't able to get the fatty acids into her mitochondria to utilize, like pretty much like early in the fatty acid oxidation, things were not going smoothly. And with the medium chain fatty acids too. So then gave her L-carnitine and vitamin B2, made sure that her B complex was dialed in better. And then also looked at her GI MAP and could see that, okay, she needed some help digesting or emulsifying fats as well. So since she was on such a strict diet, she wasn't able to utilize the main micronutrient that she was focusing on eating with a ketogenic diet. So, I mean, that could apply to people eating a carnivore diet. They're eating a lot of fat and a lot of protein. And if they're not able to make use of those to make ATP and cellular energy, it sounds obvious, but until you have that,
right,
you wouldn't know that without an organic acid test.
Right. Yeah. And they're like looking at their friend who's like doing amazing on the same diet. And they're like, why don't I feel well? Because I did the same thing they did.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And they're frustrated and they're kind of like, hey, you put me on this diet. Like, what the heck?
Yeah. I mean, I think that plus nutrigenomics, like all packaged together, could be really interesting for figuring out what the best diet template is for someone. I struggle a little bit with like the carnivore diet and the keto diet as far as like the microbiome component. And are we like doing more harm than good in the long term with those things? But that could be a whole nother podcast, another podcast discussion.
I agree. Yeah. I think that would be a cool case studies to look at microbiome with GMAP of people on.
Yeah.
Carnivore diets, because you know, there's been some recent headlines and stuff that I haven't had time to dive into that I believe you're alluding to that are saying that it's not so great for the microbiome. And you would see that too if you do the organic acid test with GMRAP, because you'll see like fungal markers, you'll see markers around the microbiome and you know what's going on there and how parts of the biome are processing the amino acids that kind of lead into serotonin and dopamine. So if you have someone on like that carnivore diet, they're like, I felt good and now I feel horrible. And you're kind of like, I don't know what you mean by feel horrible. Like, you know, let's unpack that. And then it's like, okay,
yeah,
let's see what's going on with the serotonin pathway, the tryptophan pathway and the organic acids. And then as well as the, you know, phenylalanine, tyrosine all the way through dopamine, yeah, beta hydroxylase, but then you get to the microbial metabolites in organic acids in the fungal markers, you'll be able to see, you know, what's going on there. Do they have the microbiome, if you will, to have a healthy gut brain axis? And a lot of people don't, or they need some finesse around things, even if they have zero gut symptoms, right? Some of my patients, or at least they claim, especially men, that their gut's fine. Right? Sorry, I'm fine. It's like the, you know, don't touch that dial with guys.
Yeah.
My gut is fine. So
yeah,
like that a lot of times when you have a patient that is kind of not, maybe you work with patients that are averbal or in developmental delay, autism, stuff like that, that
yeah,
has to be really helpful. Or maybe your patient is just not very good at sharing what's going on with their health because they were conditioned, whether male or female, to basically like, you know, just get the job done and no one wants to hear it, which
right,
unfortunately a common situation today.
Yeah, I find that, I mean, like that 20 to 30 year old population too, like don't quite know how to describe things like the same as older people. So like, you know, their description of abdominal pain or whatever it is like very generic and generalized compared to other populations, especially the men, like you said. Mm-hmm. And even like, I mean, men, because they don't have the same like pain sense, like pain, like in the, I guess, more of like an organ standpoint, like women with IBS symptoms, like they could have all this IBS and their GI map doesn't even look that bad. And then you have a man who has no symptoms whatsoever and their GI map is like the worst you've ever seen. So it's super interesting, even like the hormonal involvement in those, you know, pain receptors and how people, you know, have that pain sensation too.
True. And in a lot of female entrepreneurs and mothers, I see taking this kind of, it's like, I call it like the superwoman archetype, like Wonder Woman archetype, you know, it's like nothing can touch them. They take on kind of a similar persona as a lot of my male patients, not to say that every male patient's like that and every female patient's like that or every
right,
mother's
right,
like that.
Generalizations.
But it is, these are themes I've seen over the years where I'm kind of like, okay, yeah, I get it. You know, I have no idea what you go through every day or what your
right,
day looks like. However, what you've told me, anyone in your situation would be struggling, you know, like anyone in your situation would be asking for help. And it's brave of you to come here and ask for help. But also, you know, it's okay to share with your practitioner. Now this is a private conversation. There's HIPAA. You're not, no one's, there's no like WikiLeaks from our documents here. So you're safe. Your boss will never hear about this. So basically,
right,
I think that we have a culture that is such a, it's like a reward seeking culture, you know, like no one ever feels enough. And
mm-hmm,
and maybe different genders, different, like you said, different generations don't even know how to express their health problems because it's like in your 20s, you know, if you get right to work after college or if you didn't go to college in your 20s, they're like, well, I can't really say that because the people who are my boss don't talk about that. So,
yeah,
you know, like I don't even know how to say I have a stomach ache, right?
Right.
Which is like, it's kind of sad.
Yeah. And there's so much in that age demographic too. I feel like they don't have a community. I mean, they have a work community, like you said, like, but they don't feel like they should be talking about those things with work. But then outside of that, if they're not engaged in a church or, you know, a friend group or something, like they might not even have like other people to talk about because they're spending the rest of the time scrolling on social media or feeling like they have connections, but they don't really have connections. Whereas like you get into more of the mother parent generation, we've got our, you know, our friends that are moms and like, you know, have more connection with other humans because of that commonality. So, yeah, so it's super interesting. I don't know how we got on this topic, but that could be a whole other discussion in itself, too, and just how different generations. So community is really important, is what we're trying to say. And really just, you know, connecting with people at a deeper level and talking about these hard things like these symptoms. And every day, I think some people, every day is not going to be perfect. My 7-year-old, if he has like a slight like pain or headache, he thinks like the world is ending. And I'm just like, dude, like the nurse can't call me every time you have like some small ailment.
He wants me to go home.
He's like a friend. Like, I have a headache.
He may be too smart for school if he's your son, you know? I mean, he may just be bored. But I know what you mean. It's like there's a spectrum. You definitely have patients that are kind of, you know, they're hyper diligent about their health, which is great. And then we have patients that are chronically ill or they're survivors of chronic illness, or we've helped them get through that process, whether it's like a cancer treatment or multiple autoimmune disease, et cetera. So I think that like, obviously it's the spectrum, but regardless, this, in my opinion, this test, and this was how I operated before I started working at this lab. So this was a belief that I came into this team and said, hey, you know, I love this test and, you know, I'm excited to work with you all about it and learn how to help other people utilize it in their practices. Also, I mean, one kind of elephant in the room is that in any city in the US where I work and you work, is, well, I can say for myself, I've had a challenging time with my patients to get a blood draw, right? Mm-hmm. It's like how hard, even in Seattle, which has become a very, in my opinion, coming from small towns most of my life, a very big city now, and continues to grow, is very challenging to get someone to get a blood draw, or they have a horrible experience. Even if it's a mobile phlebotomist and you have a system where you have mobile phlebotomists set up with your patients and stuff like that, there's just too many variables that can go wrong or not go great in my experience that I won't even get into for the sake of time. But peeing in a urine cup at 8 a.m. and putting the lid on and putting your name on it is pretty easy, and sending it to a lab. And most people are pretty fine with that. Even, I mean, I don't want to dissuade anyone from doing a stool test. I believe in doing stool tests, and I really love the GIMAP stool test. However, there's the ick factor for even stool testing, right? Urine is sterile. You know, you pee on your hand by accident, or you spill the urine on your hand while collecting this test. I don't know why you would, but then you wash your hands and no big deal, right?
Right.
So as far as the collection, barriers to collection, besides someone saying they're too busy and procrastinating, which is everybody, that, and by the way, being busy isn't cool anymore. Just want to put that out there.
Cool to have work-life balance, so much so that the younger generation, I feel like, is maybe causing harm to themselves by telling employers that they need this work-life.
That's also a myth. Speaking as an entrepreneur myself, there's no such thing as work-life balance. Either you love your work and you know how to fit in the balance when you need to, like, you know, but there's no such thing as work-life balance.
Right. Entrepreneur life is definitely not for the faint of heart, for sure, if they're looking for those off time. Well, awesome. Well, I think we had a great discussion surrounding like how organic acids works. I agree with you, like the telehealth, like our business, the Farmer's Table team, is all telehealth across the country. So being able to mail this to a patient, have them collect it and mail it to the lab, without them having to go and find the blood draw locations. Certainly, we do a lot of blood testing too, but it is, you know, some people pass out. Some people are like, why are you testing 17 vials of blood? Like, I feel like I'm giving blood here. So having something that's quick and easy and gives you so much information just on that one urine sample, I think is really helpful. So any last words of wisdom regarding the organic acids testing?
Yeah, I would say if you're a practitioner in functional medicine, to order the test on yourself, or if you want to order it on a family member or friend, and then schedule a consult through customer service at DSL. And if you are not a practitioner and you have a functional medicine practitioner, ask them to order it for you and be patient with them learning it if they've never done the test before, and then start utilizing it in your practice so that you can get deeper insights and go below the surface even further with root cause analysis.
Yeah, I love that. I love when patients teach me about things. Like, there's sometimes where I feel like I'm not the expert in like Lyme or like some mold or some of these things, but then like the patient in front of me needs help with that and no one else is willing to help them. So, okay, I'm going to, admit that I'm not an expert in this and work with them and order the testing, learn about the testing, like, and do those things. So I think a lot of time, I mean, especially pharmacists that I work with, but other healthcare professionals too that are in this space feel like they have to know everything before they do an action, right? And I think some of that's that like perfectionist piece of us that, you know, we have to have everything together before. But I think also people, like, being real with people and showing them like that empathy and that, like, you're not perfect, you're not on this pedestal, you're learning. This is always like an engaging learning process because the stuff is changing all the time. And so much so that, like, I mean, I always tell people you could watch webinars about functional medicine testing all day long, every day of the week. Like, there's always something new to learn. And so, yeah, so I love that. Just like, you know, ordering it on yourself or spouse or family member to learn, if your provider, if your patient, advocating for yourself, because especially in this healthcare system, we need to be advocates for ourselves because there's so much that the providers don't have time, you know that you get such a small amount of time with them. If you're not getting answers to your health concerns that we talked about today, looking for a functional medicine provider, we have a team on our website. So you can go to farmtotable.life, click on the discovery call button and chat with one of our team about how to get started and diving into this too. So awesome. Well, thank you, Dr. Sam, for joining me today. And we will put the information in the show notes, information about the testing. And if you are looking for more information, again, you can find us at farmtotable.life. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening. We're excited you are on your journey with us. Find us online at farmtotable.life, farm with a P, and on Instagram at farmtotableteam.